83 Kings on 288. If you can stand, if you can. We three kings are...
Oh, yeah.
Okay. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts, we traverse afar, field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Born a king on Bethlehem's plain, gold I bring to crown him again. King forever, ceasing never, over us all to reign. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Frankincense to offer I have, incense owns a deity nigh. Prayer and praising, all men raising, worship him, God on high. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Myrrh is mine, its bitter perfume breathes a life of gathering gloom, sorrowing, sighing, bleeding, dying, sealed in a stone cold tomb. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Glorious now, behold him arise, King and God and sacrifice. Alleluia, alleluia, earth to heaven replies. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Amen. Our next song is going to be O Little Town of Bethlehem.
Town of Bethlehem, how still
stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend on us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel.
Amen. All right, our next song is going to be Silent Night.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin with mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth.
Amen. All right, our last song is going to be Away in a Manger.
Away in a manger, no crib for a bed. The little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. Stars in the sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. The cattle are lowing, the baby awakes, but little Lord Jesus no crying he makes. I love thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky and stay by my side until morning is nigh. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay close by me forever, and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care, and fit us for heaven to live with thee there.
We do have some birthdays right quick before we get going here today. Our first birthday is B.J. Coons, which is Bobby's son. And you want to pray for B.J. He's a member here, but not attending church anywhere. And so he's one of those individuals that kind of fall by the wayside. You want to pray for them. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
As you get ready to sing about his birthday, pray that God would draw him by his Spirit to come back to Jesus' side. Amen?
Amen.
So BJ Coons, pray for him. His birthday is December the 13th. What's today?
December 13th.
Well, that's today. All right. 12-14, December 14th is Miss Barbara Alexander. She's turning 85. Is that correct? 85. Wow. Okay. Way to go, Miss Barbara. If you're watching us, happy birthday to you. And then we've got Miss Sandra Capps also on 12-14. And Sandra here today? I don't see Sandra. Okay. Happy birthday, Sandra, if you're watching us. Then we got 12-17. This is your friendly reminder, Miss Alita. 12-17, Ronnie Vaculik. He's got his birthday on Thursday. Brother Ronnie, way to go. All right. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I hear you, man. All right, 12. Well, we got two on 12-17. We got Miss Becky Woods. So, Becky, James, this is your friendly reminder. Becky Woods having a birthday Thursday. Happy birthday, Miss Becky. And then we got Brother Walt Bates, 12-18. Walt Bates, happy birthday, Brother Walt, if you and Don are watching online. And then we've got Miss Lori Page. 12, that's your reminder.
Yes, 12, sir.
12-19. Lori Page.
All right.
So look at all these, you getting into these Christmas babies, amen? Christmas
amen.
Babies, amen. All right, let's sing them a happy birthday. Yeah. Oh, my goodness, how old? 82. Good to have you today, amen. All right. Vince's mom, here we go. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. And many more.
Any takers on Children's Church today? There they are. Woo! Several. Mm-hmm. All right, we'll let them get going there. I got to launch my mint, or I'll launch it on y'all when I get to preaching. You don't want that, amen? All right, we'll let the ants get that. Oh, turn my speaker off. Did it sound? It sounded, huh? It sounded like, oh my. Well, amen. All right. That's just part of it. Yeah, man, preachers just like you got to clear his throat every now and then. All right, let's take our Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 7. Visitors, good to have you with us. Vince's mom, always good to have you with us. So let's give our visitors a round of applause. Amen. All right, those of you watching online, visiting with us, we're glad you're here. We hope you tell somebody about this church. And when this COVID jazz gets all about over with, we hope you'll come back and worship with us in real life person. All right, Matthew chapter 7. Let's all stand to our feet in honor of the reading of the inerrant word of God, Matthew 7. We'll begin here in verse 24. Now, this may be the short message I've been promising you this whole series of Matthew that I haven't delivered on. If it is, count it as an early Christmas present. Amen. Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 24. Have you found that passage? You got there? All right. The word of God reads this in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Here at the end of Jesus' great Sermon on the Mount, it says, therefore, everyone, you notice that transition, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, what words are we talking about? Go all the way back to chapter 5, verse 1, come all the way forward to 7:23. Those words, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, these words contained in the great Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 1 through 7:23, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Notice what 26 says, though. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Great was its fall. Notice what 28, 29 says. We'll just read it. When Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as their scribes. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy and inerrant word. Thank you for the truth today. We thank you for what you want to share with us today through your word. Father God, I pray you hide me behind the cross. Let the words from your truth penetrate the hearts of your people. And Lord, if there needs to be a change in me, a change in us, a change in someone here today, we pray that they would begin to bend their will towards your will, Lord. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for saving us. Lord, there may be someone here today that does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior. May this be the hour of their salvation. Someone watching today online, lost, does not know you, has never received you as their personal Lord and Savior, watching us right now online, I pray that this would be the hour of their salvation. Others, months, years down the road, come across this video, hear this message on YouTube. Listen to this, watch this. We pray the convicting power of the Holy Spirit would work then just as it is working here this morning, today, right now. Lord, be with this church. Lord, we pray you help it continue. Lord, we pray that you help it be a legacy body of believers and not just a flash in the pan, but a legacy body of believers. Father God, we love you and we praise you today for all that you do. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant word of God, and may he add his tremendous blessing to it. As we begin today, the title of the message is simply this: what kind of foundation are you building on? What kind of a foundation are you building on? Now, in this passage this morning, we just about conclude one of the greatest or the greatest sermon ever preached. Jesus Christ brings to culmination the great Sermon on the Mount, and he does so with a piercing truth, a very poignant truth about two men. Now, these two men, these two men raise the question, which is the title of the message: what kind of foundation are we building on? These two men can be seen in terms of a comparison. These two men can be seen in terms of a contrast, which leads us, and hopefully will lead you as we get to the end of this, which leads us to clear conclusions. Comparison, contrast, and then clear conclusions. And as we go into this morning, don't you forget to make the connection with the larger context here. One man is on the narrow path by the narrow gate, and the other is on the broad way, which leads to destruction. As we look at this, the argument could be made that the destruction spoken of in verse 13, jump up to verse 13 with me. The Word of God reads in 7:13, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter, enter? What did it say? Enter through it, right? Many, Jesus' words, not mine. So the argument could be made that the destruction spoken of in verse 13 of Matthew 7 also has a present application in view of what we just read in verses 24 through 27. So destruction for the lost is not just necessarily off in the future of eternity, but can be experienced in the here and now. So as we think about this passage, we begin this morning with the comparisons. Six things about this passage, three of them dealing with a comparison, three of them dealing with a contrast, and then there are some conclusions in the mix. Number one, the two men shared a common vision. They shared a common vision. They both wanted to build a house.
Both men wanted to build a house, right? Meaning that their dreams, meaning that their longings, meaning that their desires, meaning that their view of the future was somewhat similar in that they both wanted to build a house. Now, when you think about this construction concept of building a house here in the first century, the concept of building a house in this context of the Sermon on the Mount in these verses is really about building a life. That's what we're really talking about building a life. Does that make sense to you? Building a life, right? To build a life worth living. To build a life that is significant. To build a life that is going somewhere. Let me just ask you a question. If you were, those of you that have family, those of you that have children and grandchildren, would it bother you if you knew this very day that you would never be mentioned again in your immediate and extended family? Would that bother you? They would never bring you up again. Never. They wouldn't talk about Nana. They wouldn't talk about Dad or Mom. You would be forgotten. Would that bother anybody? Am I the only one? That would bother you, right? Well, what's the difference? Well, to be remembered, to be spoken of fondly, to have somebody in the future look back at your life and say, I'm going to do the right thing because of, that's a legacy. That is a legacy, right? Are we tracking? Okay. You could also apply this context to building a family. Since families live in homes, and you could say both men and women want to have a vibrant, dynamic, strong household, right? If your spouse never spoke about you again, would it bother you? For those of you that have lost loved ones, think about your loved ones that have passed on, your husbands or your wives. Don't you think it honors their memory when you bring them up in conversation and talk about their legacy? Isn't it great? I mean, if there's one good thing about folks moving on, we forget the bad most of the time and remember the good, amen? Right? And we're able to talk about those things, right? But it would be kind of weird if nothing was brought up, wouldn't it? What about this? The Church of Jesus Christ is called the household of faith. So we could apply this passage to building a service ministry within the church. Well, what does it take in the church to make the church go? It takes people that will minister, people that will serve, people that will give, people that will sacrifice, people that will go, people that will show up, right? Would it bother you? Would it bother you if this church ceased January 1? And was no longer here? Would that bother you? Yeah. What if it lasted? What if the church lasted another 5 years? Would that bother you? 5 years from today, it's over. Would that bother you? What about 10 years from now? I know what some of you are thinking, Pastor. I ain't gonna be here in 10 years. I'm gonna be with Jesus. but 10 years from now, if it ended 10 years from now, would that bother you? 15 years from now? You don't want to see an expiration date on the church, do you? Not on this church. You want this church to be here when Jesus raptures the church. Is that what you want? Okay. You sure? All right. Some of you hearing me this morning are probably building all three. You're building a life, and you're building a household. And you're involved in the process of building a church. You're serving a church. You're giving to a church. You're sacrificing in the midst of making the church go and grow, not just for you, but for those that come after you. Amen? Right? Amen? So you want a family that's strong. You want a family that's stable. You're building a life. You want a life that makes a difference, that brings glory to God, and that when you look back on your life, you feel a sense of accomplishment. And what do you? You want to be a part of a church, and you want to serve in the church so that your service and sacrifice will cause the church to grow, to stand the test of time. In other words, a church that will outlast you. Now, you folks are different, or you're being dishonest. Because a lot of folks out there, they just want a church for themselves for right now. And then, you know, when they age out, go to the nursing home, die, whatever, then that's okay. Whatever happens to the church. You guys are different. That's why I'm just saying, are you sure? Because we're talking about a legacy here, friend. That's what the past, what are you building on? We're talking about a legacy. As we think about this passage, all of us at some level, we fit into this brief story with these two men that share a similar vision. Both men shared a common vision. Secondly, both men listened to divine truth. Verses 24, and then you jump down to verse 26, it says, "Everyone who hears these words of mine." Verse 24 and verse 26, everyone who hears these words of mine, both men listened to divine truth. Both men heard Jesus consistently at the same gatherings. To put this in our setting, both men, both people went to the same church. Both of them had the same pastor. Now, that's what's going on here. Both men had the best of the best in this passage, in this context, because in this case, the written word was communicated by the living word. Jesus himself was the teacher. Both men were accustomed to listening to divine truth. Both men were committed to making themselves available to divine input. See, what I want you to see here is this. We're not talking about one man having a love for hearing the truth and another man who had a total disdain for hearing the truth. We're talking about men at least hearing the Scripture. Amen? Can you pardon me for just one moment? I did not silence my phone, and it will be mine that goes off. All right? I get a crank call two or three times a day, and it's a guy who wants money. And it's a televangelist. I don't know how I got on his calling list, but he calls and, do y'all get that call? And you can't block it. You can't block because he's got an auto dialer, and I'll get a call somewhere from Houston. It'll look like, kind of like one of my numbers, and I'll pick it up, and it's the same recording. Call me now. Call me on the hotline. And I'll try blocking that. And then I'll get a call the next day, and it's coming from Wyoming, and who in Wyoming would want to call me? Now if I don't recognize the number or the number looks like mine and it's not like any of my, I don't answer the phone. I let it go to voicemail. And then it's kind of after dinner entertainment to play the voicemail. Call me now. Anyway. All right. So I'm silenced. Hopefully you're silenced. Right? So what are we talking about? We're not talking about one man having a love for hearing the truth and another man who had a total disdain for hearing the truth. We're talking about both men at least hearing the Scripture. So let's get the comparison. The comparison between these two men is they have the same basic drives. They want to see things rise from the ground and go higher, their lives, their families, or even perhaps their service to God. And they have the same instruction. They have the same instructor as they listen to divine truth. Both men shared a common vision. Both men listened to divine truth. Thirdly, both men faced the same storm as we compare them. These men lived in the same general area, we could surmise. They lived in the same neighborhood, perhaps, the same town, the same area, because they were both affected by the same storm. The description of the storm is precisely the same in both cases and affected both men. Both men were subject to the storm in precisely the same way, which means they were in reasonable proximity to one another. Now, we can relate to this because everybody here is affected by a storm or storms from time to time. Anybody want to say amen to that? Right? Everybody here is affected by the negative realities of life, the negative experiences of living with other sinners in a family. Other sinners in a family, I mean, we're just all sinners living together in need of a Savior. And then once we're saved, we're struggling with our flesh until we get home with Jesus. And so there are some negative experiences sometimes in the family. We're affected by storms. Sometimes the challenges of serving with other struggling sinners in the church. I mean, we're just saved sinners, man. Trying to do the best we can, trying to make things right, trying to live the truth till we get home with Jesus. Our situations and circumstances may be slightly different on some levels, but one thing is true of all of us. We get rained on. And the wind blows. And sometimes the floods come, right? Life is not always sunshine. Life is not always exciting. Life has moments of tears. Somebody say amen to that. Those comparisons in this story are paralleled by some contrast, some things that made these men different from one another. We've looked at three things that make them similar, but now let's look at the things that are different. Number four, if you're taking notes, we've covered three. Number four, the two men possessed two different characters. Two different characters. Jesus compares the first man to a wise man. In essence, calling the first man, what's he calling him? He's calling him wise. Jesus compares the second man to a foolish man. A wise man and a foolish man. The Greek word for foolish is where we get a word from moron. In this text, it is moro. It comes from the Greek word moros, right? You can see how that gets us to moron in the English. One is viewed as wise, a wise man who wants to build something, a wise man who gets spiritual training, and a wise man who experiences a storm. The other man is a foolish man who wants to build something, a foolish man who exposes himself to divine truth, a foolish man who experiences a storm. Now, when we think about being wise, we think about being wise. Know that wisdom in Scripture is the ability to take divine truth and apply that truth to your life. Notice it says, or I'm saying, you take the truth and apply it to your life, which means you've got to be in the truth to apply it to your life, which means you've got to hear the truth, which means you've got to read the truth, which means you've got to be saturated by the truth if you're going to apply it to your life. The foolish in Scripture is not necessarily the person who lacks information, got plenty of information. The foolish guy, plenty of information. The foolish in Scripture is the person who does little or nothing with the information received. Oh, he tells Jesus, man, Jesus, that was awesome. He says, Jesus, you stepped on my toes, man. He says, Jesus, wow, high five. Right. Jesus, let's break a piece of bread together. But that's about as far as it goes. That's about as far as it goes. So these two men were fundamentally different. They both had dreams. That was the same. They both received instruction. That was the same. They both experienced storms. That was the same. On the outside, they would have looked like twins. But in the description given by the Lord, he says they were fundamentally different men. Number four was the two men possessed two different characters. Number five, the two men had different foundations. Oh, that's where it gets real different. Different foundations. Remember, we asked the question, what kind of foundation are you building on? Right? What's the foundation you're building on? The two men had different foundations. What revealed their character contrast was their choice of foundation. That's what revealed their character, was their choice. Their choice of foundation. The wise man built his house upon the rock. And the foolish man built his house upon the sand. You see the difference there, don't you? Right? Rock and sand. The support and the base of their dreams, the support and the base of their training, the support and the base that their trials came against them were not the same. Well, what is the difference between building on a foundation of rock, Pastor, and building on a foundation of sand? What's the difference in that? Is there a difference there? You know, I'm not a general contractor. I don't do concrete work. I don't excavate. So help me out here. Is there a difference? Well, as we speculate this morning and theorize what were the two thinking that made one a fool and one a wise man, let me take you to Luke. Luke chapter 6, verse 48. Luke gives an additional observation in his gospel about this very same passage. It's Luke chapter 6, verse 48. I'll read it to you. Luke 6, 48 says this. He's like a man building a house who dug deep. I'd underline that if you turn there. If you turn there in your Bible, I'd underline that. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. Laid a foundation on the rock. And when a flood occurred, the torrent burst against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. So what is the difference between building on a foundation of rock and building on a foundation of sand? Luke says the wise man dug deep. My cousin, I've spoken of him before. I've got a bunch of cousins. I've got a big family, but I have one cousin who's like a brother to me. His name is Michael, and we'll call him Mike, call him Bubba, and he calls me Bubba. We're Bubbas, and he's on Lake Lackawanna in Missouri. We vacationed there a couple years ago. I want to say two summers ago there. He is continuing, him and his wife are continuing a rehab and expansion project of their lake home property on Lake Lackawanna. And part of the house is a house built back in the 20s. A gangster had it built out of Kansas City. I cannot remember his name, but he was notorious at one time in the 30s. He had most of the Kansas City police force on his payroll. I mean, this guy was something else. But part of the house's amenities when they purchased the property was a covered-style patio structure that had, in years past, before Michael and Jody purchased the property, way years past, somebody, a previous owner, had enclosed this patio. And they did so with beautiful stonework walls. I mean, it was really ornate and nice. They put some windows in it. It made the covered patio into an enclosed room. However, the structure over the years settled horribly. I mean, you walked in the room, and if you weren't holding on, you're going down, friend. I mean, there were cracks in the slab, and the whole thing was tilting towards the water, and it was a nightmare and a mess. Part of the problem was that the original foundation couldn't support the weight of the stone walls. It was just supposed to be four supports on the corners with a hip roof structure, and that was what the foundation was designed for. Long story short, he had the whole structure demoed. The contractor told him it's going to cost X amount of thousands of dollars to have this all jacked up, fixed, and reworked, or it's going to cost about the same amount of money to tear it down and start from scratch. And so that's what Mike and Jody decided to do with their contractor. They demoed the place, and they started the process of rebuilding it. He sent me some pictures. I mean, it's incredible. All of the dirt work, all of the excavation, all of the stem walls going in to support a new foundation. They had to get down to rock. Well, man, he's sending me these pics. And I'm texting him back. I'm saying, man, when they bust out the stem walls and the backhoe excavators, you better start writing the checks because that is expensive work. He texted back, no doubt. No doubt. Yeah. Building on the rock cost you something. It's expensive. Whereas you can build on the sandy surface fairly cheaply. You know what? Fairly cheaply. To build on rock is hard work. To build on the sand takes little time. Takes little time. The building process costs more time. It costs more energy. It costs more effort and additional funds if you're going to go deep. You can be hasty if you want to stay on top of the shifting realities. You can be quick about construction on the surface sand, but it ain't going to last. It ain't going to last. So have we had some comparisons? Yes, yes. Have we had some contrasts? Yes, yes. And we're not quite through with the contrast. But do we have some conclusions? Yes, yes, we're beginning the conclusions. What are the conclusions, Pastor? This different construction approach between the two men says some things. The different construction approach between the two men, it says some things. What does it say? It says that the second man, the foolish man, was building a house for show. That's all the house was for. It was for show. Whereas the wise man was building his house on the rock to last. Show or last? Legacy or flash in the pan? What does it say? The different construction approach between these two men says what? It says that the second man was not concerned about how long the house would be there. He just wanted to make sure for however long his house was there that people would want to pass by and admire the house. The house was for a public persona, not for depth and longevity. Listen to me, friend. A life, a home, or a ministry that is not properly founded on the right foundation is a tourist attraction. It's a tourist attraction. You can go to Italy and see one. It's called the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Pisa means marsh. They built a bell tower, 180-something feet tall, in a marsh with just a 10-foot deep foundation. That's why at one point it was leaning 5.5 degrees, about to topple over. And then they spent millions of dollars and years upon years in the 90s, and they got it to 3.9%. But that's about as good as they can get it, because they started off with a crummy foundation. Now, it's a big tourist attraction, don't get me wrong, but that's about all it is. That's about all it is, right? Let me tell you something. Social media. Let me tell you something. Hollywood. Professional sports. Even the church in the name of religion is full of people that are just in it for the show. Just in it for the show. Can you say amen to that? Well, the two men possessed two different characters, didn't they? The two men had different foundations, didn't they? Well, friend, the two men experienced different results, didn't they? Yeah, different results. Well, let's just look at the passage. I really haven't referred back to the passage. I've referred back to parts of the passage. Look at 25 and 26. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against the house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Well, what does the Lord want us to learn when we think about how the two men experienced different fundamental results? What does the Lord want us to learn? What is the Lord's fundamental point to us? Well, the fundamental point is this. The only time you would discover there was a difference between these two men and their lives, these two men in their homes, these two men in their service, these two men in the church, was when they went through a storm. That's the only time you're going to know. That's the only time you're going to know what their life is built on. See, let me give you another conclusion here. The conclusion is only the storm reveals the nature of your foundation. Only the storm. As long as the sun is shining, you'll not think about what you're built on. As long as the sun is shining, you may not care about what you're built on. But friend, when the storm comes, and will come, right? When the storm comes and will come, it has a way of letting you know what kind of foundation you're resting on. Now, sometimes I go through life and life is a challenge, you know. I mean, life is difficult. Sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes I have a weak point, a little weakness. Oh, and I think about the name it and claim it movement. And I think, wouldn't it be great if I could stand up and tell people that the Christian life was really like the way some televangelists declare the saved life to be? You know what I'm talking about. You come to Jesus and you will experience sunshine all the time. You come to Jesus and He has keys waiting for you for your new Lariat loaded out Ford pickup truck. Just come to Jesus, right? Come to Jesus and He's got the house with the sprawling acreage all ready for you. Come to Jesus and He's got the healing for all of your diseases. Just come to Jesus, right? You know, you can build a great show house with that. You can build a big crowd with that in the setting of a church. Telling people that over and over again with that kind of preaching. But according to this text, there was something like a hurricane. You ever seen a hurricane? Anybody ever weathered a hurricane? Am I the only one? Got one here? Got one there? There. Yeah. There's nothing like riding out a hurricane. Right? Yeah. When the power goes, right? And the windows are all boarded up, and you're sleeping on an outside wall, and you can reach back with your palm of your hand and feel the wall going in and out and vibrating. It's just got a little harmonic balance to it. Nothing like that. There's something like a hurricane here, friend. Something like a hurricane going on. Amen? Right? Nature was unleashed, and the rain came, and the winds blew. See, conclusions. We're trying to make some conclusions. The two men experienced different what? Different results. Another conclusion. Our foundation must be formed before the storms come. That's a big conclusion there. You cannot pour a foundation when a hurricane is dumping inches of rain an hour and the wind is 60, 70, 80, 90 miles an hour plus. You cannot do it. I mean, you may think you can do it, but as soon as you lift up that form and try to move it, you're taking an airplane ride, friend, if you hold on to it. If you let go of it, it's going to hit somebody and kill them. You can't stand up in that kind of weather. You cannot pour a foundation when the storm is dumping and the wind is blowing and the flood is coming. You can pour a foundation before the storm. You can pour a foundation after a storm, but what you cannot do is pour a foundation during the storm. So if you're going to have the right foundation on the rock, conclusion, we're talking about, you need to get that foundation solidified before the storm. So when the storm comes, you're not in a crisis. When the storm comes, you're ready. You get the point of this passage? You get the point? For some, maybe here, maybe watching online, maybe watching this after the fact, months, weeks, years down the road, for some, salvation is your next step. For some. For some, you need to tweak your perspective of time. You need to tweak your perspective of time and eternity. People that are in the here and now, not in for longevity. And normally people that cut and run. They cut and run. Things get tough. They don't have the foundation. Exit stage door right, they're out. Right? So, for some, you may need to tweak your perspective of time and eternity. In that, you need to embrace the truth of what we're talking about, that you are to be building a legacy of life. You are to be building a legacy of a family. You are to be building a legacy of a church. In other words, this church is not just for you. It's not just for you. Your marriage is not just for you. Your kids are not just for you. Your grandkids are not just for you. Your money is not just for you. Your time is not just for you. God has put you here to impact time and eternity. To impact time and eternity for His glory. So, you know what you need to do. The Holy Spirit is leading you. The Word of God will instruct you. You simply have to bend your will to God's. Simply have to bend your will to God's. Now, easy to say, but sometimes very difficult to do. Sometimes very difficult to do. You see how this passage impacts your relationships with your kids? You see how it impacts your relationships with your spouse? You see how it impacts your relationship with your church? Think legacy. Don't think cut and run. Don't think that way. That's the easy out. That's the sand approach. That's the surface. Friend, you got to go deep to the rock. Amen? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning. We thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, for how You want to take it and impact our lives with it and change us and mold us and make us. And Lord, I pray as we look at every aspect of our lives, Lord, whether it be with our kids or grandkids, or whether it be as we look at our parents, or whether it be we look at our friends, or whether it be we look at our jobs, or whether it be we look at our marriages, or our places where we spend time, our hobbies, whatever it may be, our church, may we look with a mindset of a legacy. Which means we make changes. We make tweaks. We get things cleaned out so new things can come in. Which means we spend some time doing some self-examination. We spoke of last week, Lord. Self-examination. Lord, we want to be ready to go. Ready to get it. Come 2021. Lord, we praise You that 2020 is almost in the books. We thank You for each and every day of life, but Lord, what a year 2020 has been. We praise You that it's coming to a close, and Lord, if you tarry another 3-4 weeks, if you tarry another 3-4 years, if you tarry another 30 or 40 years, may we be living for a legacy to bring glory and honor to You in the here and now for all eternity. Be with Your people, Lord. Show them the way. May Your Holy Spirit convict and encourage and direct. And Lord, may they seek the Word of God for their direction and instruction. And Lord, may they do the right thing. Not because Pastor Steve said so, but because God's Word says so. May they do the right things. Lord, we love You and we praise You for all that You do for us. We are eternally grateful for our salvation. It's in Your name we pray. And God's people said, Merry Christmas. It was an early one. You beat everybody today. Merry Christmas.